Thank you, Ryan. You already know that he was my blood brother. When we were growing up, our father said, "Any one of you misbehave, I will tan your hide." Guess who get it? To a more serious note, I want to thank him for being our rep. In fact, I am very prejudiced. I believe he is the best rep that we have. And he and his wife, Robin. I want to thank the staff and Pastor Crawford for allowing me the opportunity to share this morning. This is a great joy to be here and sharing. I want to thank them for praying and supporting us and continue to do so over the years. And this morning, I just want to share with you all fulfilling the Great Commission as a church. In the book of Matthew chapter 28 tells us, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you to the end of the world." He said here, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And it's important for us to understand that. Have I been fulfilling the Great Commission? As a missionary, to fulfill the Great Commission, you must love the people and learn their culture. I remember Hudson Taylor went to China, and when he shaved his head like a Chinese and adapt some of the culture there, his mission board dropped his support. And guess what happened? Today we have the great Indochina mission. Missionaries have diversities of ministries and are reaching and discipling souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. We call these verses in Matthew 28, 18 to 20, the Great Commission, because they tell us Jesus' final call on our lives as believers before he ascended to be with his Father in heaven. But sometimes the Great Commission can be the great omission, when it should be the great go mission. As Paul put it here, we see Jesus handed on to us the ministry that he came on earth to begin. God's desire for you, whether you are a pastor, a student, an IT specialist, an accountant, a tradesman, is whatever you do, you can lead people to the Lord Jesus Christ at the same time. God doesn't want you to neglect your job. In order to preach or to share the gospel or disciple people, rather look for opportunities in your everyday conversation to turn this discussion to a spiritual thing, to share what God means to you, to ask if you can pray with someone about something in their lives, to talk about the way to get right with God. I remember many times people will ask me, "Pastor, would you pray for me? Could you pray for me? Or when you have time, pray for me." And I would not say when I have time, I do it right away. Because sometimes you will tell somebody, "I'll pray for you," and you forget about it. If they are opening and interested, keep the conversation going. If not, just wait for the right time. In the book of Matthew, as I said, this passage reiterates what Jesus said to his final commission before leaving earth. When he gave the Great Commission, we see here, if God's purpose for you was simply to love him deeply and glorify him fully, then he could have taken you straight to heaven. When you were born again, he could have taken you and say, "Well, come on home." Why did he leave us here? He left us here to share the gospel with the lost souls. You know, I am really excited when I listen to the missionaries who are with us here in different parts of the world and see what God is doing and how God is using them greatly. We see here that Christ died, buried, and rose again for our sins. And the Bible tells us we can have eternal life in heaven if we simply trust Christ as Savior. Who are the people in your life? Who do you know that don't know Christ as Savior? People at work, in your neighborhood, at the college, at university, or in your sports team, or your next door neighbor? Could you start a spiritual conversation with one of them this week and see where God takes you from there? Take a risk. Aren't you glad that someone had shared the gospel with you so that you can be a child of God and heaven will be your home? We do a disservice to the Great Commission sometimes when we refer to it as singular. On at least five occasions, we see in five locations, Jesus gave his disciples the mandate to evangelize and disciple the world. We all are disciples of Christ when we trust Christ as Savior, either faithful or unfaithful. Well, as we look at the power of the Great Commission, we see the power of his strength. The Bible tells us, and the Lord Jesus Christ, said, and the Apostle Paul wrote down this, he said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. When you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, the Bible tells us that God commissioned us to serve him and to reach people for the Lord. Well, I remember, how many of you remember the woman at the well? When Christ saw her, he went and he met her and opened a conversation with her because she was full in water with a water pot. And guess what? He said, I will give you the living water. His disciples were very hungry and tired, so they decided to go and get some hamburgers and french fries or whatever, you know. And they left the Lord Jesus Christ there. And the Lord Jesus Christ witnessed to her, and she trusted Christ and got the living water that Christ talked about. Now, after that happened to her, she went out and bring people and say, come and see a man who will give you living water that you will never thirst again. Guess what happened? Let me ask you a question. You might say, well, I can't witness. I haven't been to Bible college. I have been to seminary. I have been to Sunday school. Let me ask you a question this morning. How much Sunday school this woman went to? How much seminary she went to? None. How much, you know, did she study the Bible? None. But her main goal that she had received the living water, the Lord Jesus Christ, and she went out. And the Bible tells us the power of his authority, that Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And the Bible tells us here, this, the purpose of this great commission is to reach the lost soul for Jesus Christ. As I said before, do you know of someone who are not saved? If they were to die, where would they go? You know, I thank God for America. America have been able to send missionaries all over the world. I don't know of any country that is doing that right now. And guess what? America is attacked by Satan daily of what is happening. I remember 20 years ago when I came here and I mentioned that the mission field will come to America. It's here. And you better learn their culture. Learn what they believe. Because They are attacking us all the time. We work with them. We have seen many trust the Lord. Now, what is the purpose of the Great Commission? To evangelize the unsaved, go into all the world and teach and share the gospel. I remember when I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, Ryan mentioned, and my father locked me out of the house. Never forget that. And when I was about to go to Bible college, he didn't want me to go. He wanted me to stay and play cricket. And I gave up all that. The Lord really dealt with me. I was running from the Lord too. I trusted the Lord at age 16 and then age 19. Then I recommitted myself to the Lord. I've seen many of them trust the Lord. I never forget it took 15 years before my father trusted the Lord. It took 10 years before my mom trusted the Lord. And my family, my brothers and sisters, yes sir, probably a couple of years and they trusted the Lord. But my mother-in-law, it took 25 years before she trusted the Lord. And when she trusted the Lord, I said to her, Mom, why did you trust the Lord? She said, now we have been sharing the gospel with her all the time. And she said this, I see something different in your life and my daughter's life. Jesus and I want. She was a Hindu. When she trusted the Lord, Pastor Sam, some of you know him, and I went and took all the Hindu gods and, you know, get rid of it that she had there. It's important for us that we understand what the scripture says here, that go ye into all the world and evangelize. You see, sheep bring forth sheep. The shepherd does not produce sheep. So we are the sheep. You are the sheep. Christ is the shepherd. And we need to be producing. In many different ways, as I listened to these missionaries this past week, and many different ways and the diversity that they are reaching out people for the Lord. You see, the Bible tells us that we need to reach them. Disciple them is most important. You cannot have kids and don't disciple them and feed them. It's important that we understand that. I remember playing cricket. And my coach who had cursed me out when I gave up cricket and didn't want to hear anything from me. I went back Barbados when I graduated from seminary and I went back there and to play. Country asked me to go and play as the counselor and player. So I went there and I went and played, and I took out a track. I always walk with track in my pocket, and I gave it to the coach. He said, I don't want to listen to you. I don't want to listen to you. You throw away your career. So I went back the next year. The Lord had a purpose in this. I give him the track again. He said, okay, I will listen to it and read it now. He said, I will listen to you and read it now. Guess what? Today, he's an ordained minister. You know, When you look at it, my friend, it's important for us to understand what the scripture says. I know, you know, one of the things that we have been able to help. You see, the devil is attacking the church in two ways. One, he's attacking the church by destroying the families. And people don't, my wife and I, we specialize in family life seminars and we travel throughout the Caribbean and do that. And we have seen where the devil is destroying families. The devil is saying the blueprint of marriage is not found in the scripture. That's what the devil said, but the blueprint of marriage is found here. The devil is saying the blueprint of marriage is found on the television. You look at the Bold and Beautiful, you become young and reckless, you end up in General Hospital, and those were the days of your lives, you know. Well, the blueprint of marriage is found in the scripture. It's three that makes a marriage. The husband, the wife, not the mother-in-law, but the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, my friend, that's one thing the devil is trying to destroy. Strong families will build strong churches, strong communities. And this is what we need today. The other thing the devil is doing is attacking the gospel. adding works to salvation. And this is something that we have to be very, very careful about. You see, salvation is by grace alone, by faith alone, in Christ alone. I want us to understand that. I'll tell you a little more about that in a while. But when they get saved, we need to church them. We need to direct them into a good Bible-believing church. Very important for us to understand that. And you know, we have been able to reach over 10,000 students in the public schools. Now, I know you can't go into public school and preach and share the gospel. We have been able to do that. And with a correspondent course and following up with them and discipling them. In fact, I wrote a book on Seven Steps to Christian Growth that helped people after they have trusted the Lord. Many of our students are taking it back to the people who they have witnessed to and using it to disciple them. It's very important. It's teaching them to observe all things. We need to teach the scripture. We need to share the word of God with them. Because the Bible says in the book of Matthew and chapter 7 and verse 21, I want to read this for you quickly. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Very important verse here. Chapter 7 and verse 21, if you have your Bible. I just want to share this quickly with you. It says here, "Not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father." I want you to look at that phrase. "He that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say unto me, Lord." Many will say unto me that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have we not cast out demons? And in thy name have we done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." There are many out there who are doing a lot of wonderful works, probably miracles. I've seen Hindu priests do miracles and cast out demons. What was the problem here? Why that Christ said here in this verse that I never knew you? Only he that doeth the will of the Father. And what is the will of the Father? The will of the Father is in John chapter 6 and verse 40. And this is so important for us to understand. John chapter 6 and verse 40. And it says here that, "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believe on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last day." What is the will of the Father? These men were doing wonderful works, but they had never trusted the Lord. Works of the devil. Is when you trust Christ as Savior. That's what God talks about. The plan of the Great Commission. You can't spell gospel without go, G-O. You cannot spell gospel without go. "Go into all the world, and ye shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judah and Samaria and the uttermost part of the world." You know, a missionary is not one who preached the gospel where he goes or she goes. A missionary is one who is preaching the gospel wherever he or she is. And the scripture tells us, where do we have to start? At home. The hardest people to reach for the Lord Jesus Christ is your own relative. And that's what I did. I went back there. I never forget when I went back there, we had a lot of persecution. I remember this man at the church I trusted the Lord, the pastor commit infidelity. And we couldn't walk the street. My wife and I couldn't walk the street without being persecuted. And we felt like running. We didn't. And there was an old Indian man who was a Hindu and said, You throw away your religion, you give up this, and look where you are now. And we began to pray for him. Ryan mentioned the little board shack that we had. That's all we had at that time. And this, we did not have any credibility in the village. Guess what happened? This man got very sick. He was 70 years old, got very sick. and he sent to call my wife and I. So we went, and I said, what can we do for you? He said, I'm sorry, I want to apologize. I said, for what? He said, I have said all these bad things about you, but you see that Jesus that you talk about? I want to trust him as Savior. I held onto his hand, and he was very weak. And I said, if you want to trust him, say this, Lord Jesus, the best I know how, you died, buried, and rose again for my sins, and I'm accepting you as my Savior right now. And if you do that, God will save you. And he trusted the Lord. When he trusted the Lord, that was about probably 6 o'clock in the evening, about 9 o'clock at night. We didn't have any telephone or anything. And his son came and knocked at our door. He said, Pastor, Daddy just died. But before he died, he said, Son, if I die, I don't want any Hindu priest to do my funeral. I want that preacher to do my funeral. When we did his funeral, people from all the community, by the way, I born and grew up in that village, and people from all the community came to the funeral. He was a well-known man, and many, many trusted the Lord, his relatives, and that's the power of the gospel. Note, you cannot disciple if you don't win them for Christ. You must start right where you are. Just reach them for the Lord, disciple them. Go to all people, and this is important. Now, I know as we think about the missionaries who were standing here this morning, every one of them that God gave a specific job to do. Guess what? There are some people that you could reach that I cannot reach. There are some people that I can reach that you cannot reach. And that's why we need to work together as a team, as a church. It's important that we do that. We are working, and I know Brother Yogi also is working among the Hindus and Muslims there in Trinidad. And it's not easy. It's tough. You know, and it's important for us to reach out to them. You have to learn their culture. And you be nice to them. It takes a little while. And when I'm witnessing to them, we have to be very, very careful, especially the Hindus. I don't say, did you trust the Lord as your Savior? Because I did that to my wife, aunt, and I said, did you trust the Lord as your Savior? And she said, yes. So the next day I went to visit her, and she said, come and see something. And she took me into her little temple that she have, and she said, look, I put the Lord Jesus Christ next to the other gods. You see, then I learn is not to ask them if they trust the Lord as your Savior. Did you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? That's what makes the difference. There's power in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to all person. I remember a young man came to my office one day. And he said, you're a preacher? I said, yes. He said, well, I don't believe in God. And I don't believe in the Bible. I said to him, I said, for every cause, there's an effect, and for every effect, there's a cause. For a building, you must be a builder. For painting, you must be a painter. For creation, you must be a creator. But I majored in psychology, so I was looking at him a little bit, and I can sense what he's thinking. Don't confuse me with facts. My mind is already made up. So, as I decided to talk to him and witness, and it took a little while, almost half an hour. And I said, I didn't want to do this, but I had to do it. I said, you don't believe in God, and you don't believe in this Bible, but do you know your name is written in this Bible? He said, no way, preacher. I said, yes, you want to see it? He said, sure. I turned to Psalms 14:1, and I had him read it. A fool had said in my heart, there is no God. He said, Pastor, I'm going to think about it now. You see, you and I have the power through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have to learn, you know, it is so important that we understand that, what the scripture says to all people. You see, God is looking for fat Christian. What do I mean by fat Christian? F is faithful, A is available, and T is teachable. He is not looking for astronaut Christians. You might ask me, well, Pastor, what is astronaut Christian? Oh, astronaut Christians are Christians who are occupying space in the church. God is looking for those who are faithful. You know, I remember I went to witness to my brother-in-law who was a Hindu, and he was, at that time, he was sharpening his machete, and which is the wrong time to go to witness to him. He said, get out of here. I don't want to listen to you. Well, we prayed and prayed and prayed for him. Guess what happened? When we prayed for him, it took about a year afterwards, he ended up in jail for something he did. So he told my sister-in-law, he said, my wife's sister, he said, tell that preacher I want to see him. And I went to in jail, saw him. He said, I want to trust the Lord now. And you know, he did trust the Lord. And when he came out back, in fact, we started our second church in their home. And today, that church is still there, not in their home, but it moved to a different place right now. And somebody has his fast in it. But it tells you that there is power in the gospel. You see, it's important that we be a witness, the personal witness. We need to understand what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. Oh, by the way, I was sharing the gospel one day and talking about the cross, and a preacher told me, he said, Pastor, do you know that they identify one of the thief on the cross who he was? I said, no. I said, who he was? Who was he, sorry? He said, it was the Apostle Paul's father. I said, what do you mean, the Apostle Paul's father? He said, the Apostle Paul said, and my old man was crucified with him, you know. Well, you know, the Bible tells us that we need to share the gospel message. And it's so important that we understand that. You know, it reminds me about the farmer. Before I say that, let me say this. How many times you have heard people say, you need to trust the Lord. You need to get saved. You need to become a Christian. But they never tell you how to. Never tell you how to. Come like this farmer. He had an old truck, plenty of money. And the bank said, I'll buy a truck for you. Bring it. Put it in your yard. They bring it. They put it in his yard. They put it in his driveway, which was dirt driveway, facing the paved road. And they said, here's your keys. This is your truck. Take it. So he came and he went in the truck and he looked at the truck and he saw the stick shift was different. It was automatic. D, R, P, N. He said, well, these people really are smart. You see, what do I do now? He said, oh, they park it on the dirt road, so D is for dirt road. So he put it on D, and he drove out. He reached on the paved road now, and he said, well, P is for paved road. He put it on the P. And guess what? It wouldn't go anywhere. They didn't tell him how to use it, how to drive. How many times we have seen that? People will tell you, you need to get saved. You need to trust the Lord. But you have never told them how to. You see, the Bible tells us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know that. Let me show you something. Let my left hand represent you and me. My wallet here represents sin. We all have sin, don't we? Oh, let me check that out. How many of you have never told a lie in your life? Raise your hand, let me see. Oh boy, we have a bunch of liars here. No, I didn't raise my hand. I didn't point my finger at you. I have three pointing back at me. All right? So, here we are. with sin. Our right hand represents the Lord Jesus Christ. If we want to have fellowship with Christ, what is separating us? Sin. So some people think in order to get rid of this sin, we have to do some good works and more good works. That wouldn't get rid of it. I remember when I was a little boy growing up, I went to a Sunday school. And the Sunday school teacher told me, good boys go to heaven and bad boys go in hell. I always like to ask questions because I want to learn. So I said, ma'am, if good boys go to heaven and bad boys go in hell, where does the girls go? Well, you see, the Bible tells us, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, you and me, that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever joined the church, get baptized, help old ladies across the street, whether they want to go or not. It didn't say that. Whosoever believed. The moment you believe, he gave you life, eternal life. You're without sin now, eternal life. He took away all the sin from you. And the Bible tells us that. And it says here, heaven will be your home. Very important that we understand that we need to, you know, the other thing is God preserve us, give us eternal life forever. And then the Bible tells us partnership. We love the partnership of the Fellowship Bible Church here and what they have done over the years and still continue doing. The action plan, plan it time. You don't plan to fail, but you fail to plan. Commit to do it. Don't say, I am working on it. Pray for God's blessing that souls will be saved. Last of all, the promise of the Great Commission. God tells us that to go out there, when you preach the gospel, the Holy Spirit going to convict. The Lord Jesus Christ going to save. You don't do the saving. We do the sharing of the gospel. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to save, and the Father is going to keep you. It's important we understand that. The promise of his presence. That's why Christ said, you know, he says here that he will be with us always. In conclusion, if you want to be engaged in fulfilling the Great Commission as a church, some can pray. Some can give. Some can go. But all can tell. So here am I, Lord, send me. Only one life to live will soon be passed, and only what is done for Christ will last. I want to read a wonderful song. I can't sing. Last time I sang, somebody said they loved the singer but not the song. But I'm going to read the song for you that was written by a good friend of mine, Rich Cunningham. And it says, you talk about your business, your stocks and bonds of gold. In all your worldly matters, you are so brave and bold. Then why are you so silent about salvation plan? Then why not speak for Jesus and speak out like a man? You talk about the weather, who won the game and who got beat. You talk with friends and neighbors. You pass along the street. You call yourself a Christian. You know the gospel plan. Then why not speak for Jesus and call yourself a man? I like to tell the story of Jesus, won't you? And help some other people find the Savior too. I'm going to travel onward until I hear them say, my Savior say, well done, my servant, for more souls in heaven today. Are you ashamed of Jesus who suffered on the cross? You lower his pure banner and let it suffer loss. Have you forgotten his anguish, or did he die in vain? Then why not speak for Jesus and speak out like a man? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let me say this morning. You may be here this morning as a crowd like this. and you have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you were to die, you would spend an eternity separated from God. And you're saying, Pastor, I want to trust Him as my Savior. How do I? Simply this. You can say this simple prayer. Lord Jesus, the best I know how, You died, buried, and rose again for my sins. And I'm believing what You did for me and accepting You as my Savior. And the Lord will save you. If you are doing that this morning, you have never done it before. You don't have to do it more than once, only one time. I would like to pray for you just by slipping up your hand and putting it down. Anybody, if you have never trusted Christ as Savior, you're not sure where you're going when you die, and you're saying, Pastor, pray for me. Would you do that? All right, with the lights in my eyes, I cannot see much, but you go. If you have trusted, I'll pray for you. The other thing I want to do is this quickly, is that if you're here this morning and you have never took the time to share the gospel with your friends, your neighbors, you see, we can't take anything to heaven with us. None of us can take anything to heaven with us. I've done many funerals. I've never seen a U-Haul going behind the funeral. But you can take your brothers, your sisters, your friends, your relative. And time is short, my friend. The Lord is coming soon. You can see it. I can feel it, what's happening out here. If you're here this morning and you said, Pastor, pray for me. I want to be a more faithful witness to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you slip your hand up and put it down? Okay. Many, many hands. Father, we thank You for Your love, for Your grace. We thank You for if there is any here who are trusting Your Savior. Father, we pray right now that You would save them according to Your word. And Father, we pray that they would attend a good Bible-believing church and study Your word. And Father, we pray that someone will disciple them and grow them in You. We pray for those who have lost ones, Lord, and they don't know Your Savior. We pray that You will give them that opportunity right now. The words to say, the time that they should meet and talk with them. But the most important thing, Lord, we know is prayer. Now we pray for them first and then look for the opportunity and share the gospel. We thank You, Lord, for all what You have done with this church. Thank You for all the leaders here and the pastors and the leadership of this church. You will continue to give them spiritual wisdom and knowledge to reach people around the world as they have been doing. We pray for the missionaries who are here this morning, Lord, that You will continue to protect them from all harm and danger. Build that hedge around them that when the Satan attacked it, he will not be able to penetrate through, Lord. I pray that You will cover them with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, that they will be faithful in sharing the gospel where they are in their lives and their lips. Thank You now in Jesus' name. Amen.